Welcome back to Access Bodybuilding with me, Aaron Singerman, and my co-host, Stacy Thompson. Stacy, what's in the news for this week?
Hello, Aaron. We have huge changes on Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. The end of Lee Priest at Muscular Development. Two IFBB pros get married. Is Flex Wheeler suing Stan Efferding? A survey question, our weekly birthdays, plus Aaron interviews Lonnie Teeper.
All right. Okay, Stacy. And, you know, normally we do a little bit of BSing in the beginning, but because we have such a action-packed show this week, it'll be a long, I think this will be our longest show so far. So we're going to get right down to the stories. And there is a big story that just broke literally, an hour ago. And it's interestingly enough, it's funny that I think always that the funny stories are the best stories for us, it seems like, have to do with you or I directly. And this story has to do with your husband, MPC chairman and pro judge Lee Thompson.
Yes, sir. I'm always the last to know.
I called you and tell you when what's going on with Lee.
I go, what are you talking about? Are you okay? Do you need to go back to bed and start your day over again? You're right. Yeah, this is a huge story.
Exactly. Let me give us some background for anybody who doesn't know, and just about anybody who's listening to this probably knows Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. Dan and Bob have been doing the show. This will be the beginning. Next week, actually, will be the first show of the seventh season. Because of the popularity of the show and the prominence of both Dan Solomon and Bob Ciccarello, they've had quite a bit of sponsorship. And you know, that's really what it comes down to. When you do a radio show or a magazine, you know, you want sponsorship dollars so that you're able to pay yourself and make the show as good as possible, right?
Sure. It's like a commercial with a series. You have to have revenue. So.
Exactly. And Bob last year changed after working and being basically the face of bodybuilding.com for many years. He changed over and made the switch to working for BSN. Now, I wouldn't mention that normally. It wouldn't have anything to do with a radio show, but Pro Bodybuilding Weekly's main sponsors have always been bodybuilding.com along with Muscle Tech. And so I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how much that played a role, but I'm sure that that had to cause some tension, because when you have a company like Muscle Tech putting in, I'm sure, a good amount of money, because the show is worth a good amount of money. They want their host to be, obviously, with
them. They want it to, with them, and they want a neutral host if they're not with anybody.
Right.
So I'm sure they had to contemplate a little bit about that. So, yeah.
But the gist of the story is that Bob is no longer with Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. Dan and Bob have parted ways after over 6 years and over 200 shows. And interestingly enough, the person replacing Bob in the co-pilot chair, I guess you would say, is your husband, mm-hmm. Lee Thompson.
Yeah, and to be honest, we were kind of joking in the beginning of the story about me really not knowing about it, and I didn't until you told me. And we started talking about it before we recorded, and we were talking about the difference in dynamics that it'll bring to the table. So it'll be interesting, because I think that you know, Lee being kind of a very good source of information, and Pro Bodybuilding Weekly being the radio show that provides information about competitions and preps and the athletes and show coverage, it's a really good source to have. Now, Bob has got a very bright, loud personality and very, very funny, very, very witty. Lee is too, but he's got a little bit of a different humor. So I think this will be interesting to see how it plays out, for sure. It's very, very fast paced. I'll tell you what, it happened in a couple of days from what I heard, I guess.
Well, so, I could tell you, you know, I'm not going to, I have a bunch of great quotes from Lee, so I don't want to ruin his quotes. Let's go to Lee's first quote. And the first quote I have from Lee is, why did they replace Bob in the first place? Why did Bob have to go? And here's Lee on, from what he knows, why Bob is gone. Okay, so here he is.
Okay.
Bob had some interesting opportunities arise at the end of the 2010 season, and he opted to take those opportunities and run with them, and I'm sure that we're going to hear a lot more from Bob on those opportunities in the weeks to come. I know there's some exciting things, and he will always continue to be in and around the industry, as he's as an important part, serves as the athlete's representative and, you know, the MC of many shows, including My Texas State. So Bob has some interesting endeavors, and I can't wait to hear them.
All right. The second question I asked Lee, you know, I've got four quotes. I want to get right to them. The second question I asked Lee was, how did Dan come to him to decide, you know, to actually ask him to do the show? What was Dan's thought process? And how did this whole thing come down? How did it go down? So here's Lee one more time about how did he get offered the job, and how did this even come about?
When Bob decided to pursue his other opportunities, Dan was left in the dilemma of trying to find somebody, and he began talking to the boss, Jim Mannion, about possible replacements, and then they kicked around a ton of names, and mine came up, and you know, the boss contemplated on it for a while and thought about it and blessed the idea. So Dan gave me a call and said, "Hey, I got some big shoes to fill, and think that you have a you know, good voice and are astute enough to be able to speak about the sport, its history, and a perspective that we haven't had prior to this on our show. Would you be interested in co-hosting with me, with the, you know, the blessings of the boss, if you will?" And I was just, you know, breathless there for a second, excited because of, you know, Pro Bodybuilding Weekly being what it is, and the force it is in the industry, one of the original radio shows on about bodybuilding. I was just excited to even be offered the opportunity, and so when the question was presented, I, you know, took some time and spoke with Jim and some of the other, you know, players in our industry, and everybody was just extremely excited about it and thought it would be a good, unique opportunity. So I gladly accepted.
Okay. Now, Stacey, the thing that everybody's going to be thinking, right, and I can tell you from the message, this hasn't really hit the message boards yet in the internet, but what people will be thinking is this, and I know because, you know, this is...
Because you are the... Yeah, this is what you do. You are the guru.
yeah, I don't know about all that, but I do know what the people on the internet and the boards and the fans are going to think, and they're going to think... because, and this is just logical, because they even thought Bob being the athlete's rep and working with Weider, they thought that it was almost a conflict of interest to have him as the host of the show. Now, take that, and obviously it's going to be multiplied, because Lee Thompson is not just he's more than the athlete's rep. He is the MPC chairman of Texas. He's an IFBB pro judge.
He's a representative.
And not just that, in the hierarchy, in the upper hierarchy of the IFBB, your husband Lee is one of the very, very top guys. So, you know.
So, what is? Why do you think that would be a conflict of interest, though?
I think that. Now, me personally, this is what people are going to think on the board, is they're going to say, how is Lee going to break down and preview a contest and talk about, like, oh, well, you know, I think that Dexter Jackson, you know, I'm seeing him in third place, or I could see him even going as high as second, you know.
Oh, you're saying before okay.
Exactly. He's not going to be able to, you know, there's certain things that obviously, you know, as a judge, ideally, that when the judges go to judge a contest, they shouldn't have any preconceived notions.
Right, okay? Exactly. I wonder if he'll be able to, like, remove his judge's hat and just go into a hosting position when he gets on the show and just remind people that, in his opinion, and this is strictly his opinion based on his experience, based on his years of being in the industry, whether being a judge or not, he did compete himself as well. He's trained people as well. So being that him and Dan are going to probably build this rapport and riffraff back and forth about what they're seeing based on the athlete's progress through the year and what they're changing, and maybe people can take that into consideration, well, and not so much a judge's perspective.
Well, you know what, Stacey, there's going to be controversy no matter what, and I did bring that up to Lee, and I asked that question, and you know, Lee is good on you know, the one thing Lee is not he's not adverse to is controversy. He has been you know, controversy has surrounded Lee Thompson since he got in the industry.
No way, really?
So I he had no problem answering this question, and here is his answer right here.
Well, it's pretty much everything that I deal with, and there's always going to be controversy, and I think that's society in general. However, I'm going to approach this in a, I think the politically correct term these days is used in politics, is more of a transparent light on what my function and our function as judges and officials at the MPC and IFBB level. That's the vision I will bring. That's the commentary that I will bring. Won't be handicapping shows prior to them. Be able to talk about the lineups and how I've seen people before, but not obviously how they're going to come in and handicap. But I will recluse myself from a lot of, you know, the topics that would be forecasting, if you will, per se. But I think my forte will come in after the show and be able to enlighten the listener and help the fan base understand more of what happens from a judge's perspective, as opposed to just somebody who's sitting back, you know, 10 or 15, you know, rows watching the show or viewing online photos of a show after it's taken place. So I think if we open our minds and take this concept and embrace it, is for the, you know, first time, you're going to have somebody in my capacity be able to speak towards two events and how they, you know, how they were, you know, the final outcomes, you know, were placed and give you feedback from what happened at our perspective.
Okay. So I think he did a good job answering it, Stacy, and I'm sure there will be more controversy related to this as we go along, and it's going to be great for us because your husband is going to provide us with more content, so that's good.
More? Well, if he tells me.
And if he doesn't tell you, I'll tell you, and then you can ask him.
And then I'll ask him, yes.
And the last quote I do have from Lee is the future of Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. You know, I wanted him to talk a little bit about what else Dan and him have planned for the future of Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, and I know they have somebody else they're actually involving in the show. So let me let Lee tell us about that.
One of the biggest things that excites me is Dan and I will be working with Chad Nichols. You know, Chad has been in the trenches. He's the guy with the knowledge. He's the mechanic with the toolbox. You know, but before Dan and Bob, you know, Bob has been a competitor. He's done his dieting. He's done his training, and he was able to speak from that athlete's perspective. But Chad has not only been an athlete, but he is a training guru and, you know, 8-time, you know, Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman's, you know, trainer throughout. Chad brings a very interesting perspective. As I said, he brings a toolbox that hasn't been out there before and that it's not out there anywhere else in the industry. So the culmination of a Chad Nichols and a Dan Solomon and a Lee Thompson, I think, will make the show exciting, it will make it entertaining, and it will make it fun for the listener. And at the same time, we're going to provide a lot of education in the body, in and around the bodybuilding world. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic. I think people are going to be shocked when they hear it.
All right, Stacy. So not only will you have Lee Thompson, but you'll also have the great contest prep guru, Chad Nichols, who will be participating in the show. I guess we'll find out as the show goes along how much Chad will be participating. But he adds another level of experience, being that he is a contest prep guru and has gotten, you know.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that Bob really was able to be a perspective from the athlete's view, and Dan and Lee really kind of needed that anchor too, so that they can have some sort of authority on that aspect. So I think it'll be a really good dynamic for the show.
I'm sure, and I bet Chad has some really fantastic stories. So I'm really looking forward to hearing them together as a group.
Yeah. So when do they start? What's their first recording?
Their first show, Stacy, will be next Monday. So we will hear the very first show of this new trio together, and I'm sure we'll report on it and see. We'll give our little review.
When Mister comes home from work, I'm definitely going to be sitting him down for a Q&A.
Okay, good. You need to get us the info, Stacey.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I think Lee's. I'm biased, of course, but Lee's a good communicator, and he's got a good way of being able to make sense of things. And Dan obviously has got good insight as well. So I'm excited. I think that this will be interesting. And good luck to Bob and his ventures too. I don't know what he's planning. I know BSN is a great place to be for him, and he's been excited for that, but who knows what else will lie in.
Well, I'm sure we will talk to Bob in the future. You know, I actually just missed a call from Bob, so I'm sure I'll be able to get a quote from him in the future, and I know Bob has big plans. I don't want to reveal any of his plans. I want to let him do it himself. So he does have plans in his future, and you will be seeing quite a bit of Bob Ciccarello. It's, you know, he is not only the athlete's rep, but MC extraordinaire, and like I said, he's got some other big plans in the future.
So no hurt feelings with Lee, but Bob will be missed, I'm sure. But yes, good luck with Bob, and we'll see what he's got going on, Mr. Insider Scoop there.
Yep, and moving right on to the next Insider Scoop. I sent you the my most recent Gossam column for RX Muscle, and it was about Lee Priest. And what's going on with old Lee Priest. And Lee has been signed with Muscular Development for the last few years. And I believe this is his 1 year anniversary or so. He's been with them off and on. And then, you know, before he was with Flex Magazine, and Lee's been with several different companies. And basically, you know, wherever Lee goes, you know, drama follows, because Lee is a guy who speaks his mind. And sometimes a lot of people don't like what he has to say. Some people love him for being completely uncensored and honest. But one of the things that with MD, unfortunately, is when you're with MD, you can't talk to other media outlets like RX Muscle or in this case, Access Bodybuilding. But I have the great fortune of being friends with Rain Priest, Lee's wife, who I actually, interestingly enough, Stacey, I used to talk to on MuscularDevelopment.com before she even met Lee Priest.
Oh, really?
Before they were in a relationship. I don't know. Maybe she had met him, but they weren't in a relationship. And she went by the name Satan Spawn, which was a very strange. I was convinced that she was a guy.
A guy? Yeah. Sounds like a guy's code name.
Yes, exactly. But so I have known her for quite a while, and she's been on off-topic radio with myself and Carl Lenore before. So when the rumors started circulating that Lee Priest's contract with MD was going to be terminated, or really not terminated, it ends February 19th. So close to March, you know, I knew that it was ending. And the rumors
into the source then, huh?
Right. So when I heard enough rumors, I decided to give them a call. And like I said, I'm not allowed to talk to Lee. So I talked to Rain, and Rain gives me the info. So Rain let me know that that Lee had been contacting Steve Blackman at Muscular Development, or had been attempting to contact him regularly to try to figure out what the deal was, if they were going to re-sign Lee or if they were not going to re-sign Lee. Let me let her. I actually have a quote specifically from her about the contract. So let's let Rain tell us exactly what happened.
Okay.
Lee was interested to find out if his contract will be renewed or if it will be let go. So on Tuesday, he emailed Steve to find out where he stands. Today he got confirmation that his current contract will not be renewed by them, but that Steve is still interested in talking with him about negotiating possibly another contract.
All right, so as you heard, Rain said that eventually Steve did contact Lee and told him that he would not like to continue the contract. The contract will be done, but he would like to talk about future stuff. Now, I did talk to her after the fact, and she said that she really can't speculate what the future contract may be, but they don't think it's going to be a raise or anything like that. If you want my speculation, my guess is that they're going to want to try to tie Lee down so that he can only post on MD.com or only work with MD on a limited basis, so that they can kind of tie him down. You know what I mean?
So do you think, will they go for that?
Will Lee go for it?
Mm-hmm.
I think if that's all they're going to do, I think that if it's not, you know, I don't know how much Lee is getting right now, but I imagine it's not a tremendous amount of money. If it's significantly less, I think that they will go a different direction, and Lee will be a free agent. One thing about Lee Priest is that although he hasn't competed in quite a while, he has stayed very popular. You know, people like to know what he's doing. He has a lot of fans still, and I think that if
why do you think that is? How do you stay up on top of with all the new newbies coming in all the time? How do you think he did that? Just from staying active on the boards?
And I think staying active on the boards. Sure, he's one of the guys that does regularly post. He's actually one of the only pros, other than like Evan Santapani and a few other guys, that regularly post on MD.com. A lot of their pros that are signed with them, and they do have quite a few, don't post at all. Lee is one of the few that posts every day. I think that's a good
tool for athletes who want to be able to maybe not compete for a year or two, but still stay in the limelight. I think that's some advice that they can take away too.
Absolutely, that's advice that I give. When I hear from, you know, because I know a lot of the guys that are up and coming and some of the pros that aren't making, you know, a really much of a living at all as a professional bodybuilder. And my best advice is to stay in the limelight as much as possible. The internet is free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's a great marketing tool. I mean, there's so many different social media networks and blogging sites. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the way that you can really honestly source yourself out to any avenue that you want to.
Yeah, want advertising for free? It's there on the internet for you to take it. And I think that Lee has done that. And also the fact that Lee is controversial. And he's a little freak. You know, he's a freak in nature. The guy was the only... other than maybe, Sean Ray says he was 210 or whatever. But Lee at around 200 pounds was placing in the top six in the Olympia. So he was literally a giant killer. Wow. So, you know, a lot of people like his personality. A lot of people admire his physique. And he's stayed popular. Now, Lee, because like I was saying, Lee has not competed in a while. And he still wants to compete. Unfortunately, he is not competing in the London show, which he's been saying that he might, and he's not competing in the Australian show either. And I have a quote from Rain about his plans for competing in the future. So let's let Rain take that from here.
So Lee will definitely not be doing the UK Grand Prix. He's been asked many times, hey, are you going to do the show? And Lee said, in the beginning he said, maybe, let's see how it works out when the year comes around. Well, it's definitely won't do it. Financially, it's just not a viable option. There's better things, better options for him to spend his money on and then actually earn money in return. As far as the Australian Grand Prix goes, there is no way in hell Lee is going to do that show. IFBB Australia, the amateur division, had made it pretty damn clear to him that they will not support Lee in any way, shape, or form. Last year when he did Mo's show, he guest posed at Mo's show. In any case, to make a long story short, IFBB amateur division, he has a lot of pull in the pro ranks. There's very few pros here, but the officials, the judges, all those people that kind of actually have a say, they have a lot of pull, so they influence the Australian bodybuilding scene a lot here in Australia. And Lee has already said straight out after he got that message from them that they don't support him, he will not support IFBB Australia, and he will not promote IFBB Australia.
All right, Stacey, so it looks like we won't be seeing Lee Priest on the IFBB Pro stage in any, at least any time in the foreseeable future. I know that Lee still is not retired, and Rain tells me that we will see Lee back on stage for sure. We don't know when. He doesn't have any plans right now as to exactly when, but we will see him on stage at some point in the future.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for that then, for sure.
Yes.
For sure, for sure. I'm sure people will be interested when that happens too.
Of course, of course. So, Stacey, the next one is a good story. Tell us what's the next big story?
This is a happy story. Another marriage. We have two IFBB pros. Guy, and you're going to have to help me with this last name.
Sister Nino.
Oh, I was so bad at that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to be labeled as the mispronounced queen here. Okay. And Bethany Wagner.
Right.
He's a 202 bodybuilder who just competed at the Olympia this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know my stuff. You almost know your stuff. He did not compete at the Olympia.
Oh, he didn't. Dang it.
he did compete several times in the 202 category. And what you meant to say, I believe.
She competed at the Olympia.
Yes, she competed.
And took six.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. See? Okay. Not bad.
That's what I meant. She won the 2010 Dallas Europa.
Right.
And at the Olympia. Exactly. Took six. And he's a 202 IFBB.
Yes. And Guy also placed, I'm putting me on the spot. I think he got fifth or sixth at the Dallas Europa show, and that was his best placing. They competed together there at that show in Dallas, and I was fortunate enough to be right there in the front to see them both compete. And they are a great couple, and Bethany Wagner is a school teacher.
Aww.
And she is just about as sweet a girl as you get. And Guy and her are very lucky to have each other. And they are really, honestly, you know,
they complement each other.
They are a good quality couple. And, you know, we talked about before relationships within the industry. And Guy Sister Nino and Bethany Wagner are a prime example of two people that can meet in the industry and have a successful relationship. They are very happy together. You know what?
When did they get married?
I have a quote. Why hear it from me when you can hear it directly
exactly.
from Guy? So I actually got this from Guy on his way home from work. Guy works for BSN, and he was driving home from work, and he gave me this quote.
Okay.
Me and Bethany met at a gym through mutual friends, Chris LeCompte and Jen Smythe, about 2.5 years ago. It wasn't planned. We just met. I walked into the gym. She just so happened to be there. She was getting for the New York, the AC show at the time. And we've been together ever since that day. Dated for about just about 2 years. We got engaged December 20th of last year. We went to a lodge for a weekend up in Jersey. And that's where I proposed to her, and we got married last Friday, January 7th, at a place called the Palace in Somerset, New Jersey. We had a great time. I mean, getting married's very, very crazy, very hectic with all the planning and everything that goes into it, and all the money and the time and the effort. The day's basically for the woman. More than anything, you know, that's something that they dream about since they're, 5 years old, is getting married. So, it was exciting for me, but, the most important part was that she, had a good time, and she enjoyed herself. And, we had a blast, a lot of family, a lot of friends there, had a great time. There were close to 200 people at the wedding. And, it was just a great day of, eating and drinking and celebrating. We had a blast, and, hopefully that, we can have a lot more anniversaries to come in the future.
There we go. You heard it first from Guy, and he said that the wedding was great, and interestingly enough, he said that, I guess you would know better than me, that he says the weddings are for women. Do you agree with that?
I mean, well, I think that it's all based on a guy's opinion, really, because when Lee and I got married, he wanted the wedding. He wanted the big, huge, giant shebang and the dress, and he wanted to be able to send out the invitations and invite guests. Don't tell him I'm telling everybody this, too, because he is really mushy. but I didn't want it. I'm not a party planner. So I think it just depends on the people. But for the most majority, yeah, absolutely. The wedding is for a guy.
Well, you're the you're interestingly enough, Lee is the shopper, and you're the one that hates shopping. So
I can't stand shopping. He has to shop for me. I just don't do it. So yeah,
you're the dude, and he's like the chick. Is that what you're saying?
No, I won't say that on the radio. He always so mad at me.
Yeah. I'll probably get a phone call later. I know he's gonna listen. So
I won't say that he's the snuggler either.
Oh, okay.
Oh gosh, but yeah, no, I think Guy has got it right. The majority of men don't like the wedding part of it. They want the party and the reception afterward with all their buddies and drinking and in the bachelor party, but they don't care about the flowers and the colors and the cake and all that stuff. That's definitely something the girls look forward to. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, the next story is about Flex Wheeler and Flex Wheeler Fitness. And let me give you some background, Stacey, for you and for anybody else who doesn't know. Flex Wheeler Fitness is a gym that is actually owned by Stan Efferding. And Stan Efferding is the world's strongest bodybuilder. He won recently at the Olympia. They had a contest between him and Ben White. And Stan won pretty convincingly. And Stan works with Flex and has worked with Flex as his nutritionist. So that's how he got his pro card with the help and advice of Flex Wheeler. So they have been close ever since. And Stan opened up a gym right there in the Seattle area where he lives and called it Flex Wheeler Fitness. Now, here's where the controversy comes in the story, okay?
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Are you ready, Stacey? So
I am ready.
So what happened was he put out a commercial, Stan, for the gym, Flex Wheeler Fitness, and he put the video on muscular development, on some other boards, on YouTube. And interestingly enough, if you watch the video, Flex Wheeler is nowhere to be seen in the commercial.
Okay.
So you would think, right, Flex Wheeler Fitness, you would think that Flex Wheeler would be involved in some way
sure.
in the commercial, in the grand opening. But he wasn't. So that led people on the internet to speculate that possibly, I don't know how it comes from this to this, but people started speculating that Flex Wheeler was in fact suing Stan Efferding for the name.
You gotta love rumors, I swear. Okay.
I know. So I talked to Stan Efferding, and let's let Stan enlighten us on the possible beef between himself and Flex Wheeler.
Okay.
Here's Stan Efferding, world's strongest bodybuilder.
Yeah. Flex and I had a good laugh over that. We we were the last to hear, and it doesn't surprise us in this industry that those kinds of things will pop up from time to time. But Flex and I went into this venture together. We're good friends. We talk almost every day. He's helping to prep me for the Flex Pro here in 5 weeks. So there's really just no truth to the rumors. But, it's like Don King says, all publicity is good publicity, and we'll use the opportunity to set the record straight and to, direct people to flexwheelerfitness.com, and they can check out the gym and the opportunity that we put out there so folks can use his name and his likeness and his supplement company to help market their own gym if they want to start a Flex Wheeler Fitness anywhere in the country or anywhere internationally. That's certainly the opportunity that we want to promote.
All right, Stacey. So, like a lot of rumors, this one is just total BS.
Yeah, say it's par for course. Of course, I like how he laughs about it and validates basically our point from our previous show about how the birth of gossip can really take a toll on stories. But he's got a good attitude about how he approached the publicity of it. Good publicity, bad publicity, and
yeah.
I think it's funny how these so-called journalistic bloggers who say they have information
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Okay, go right ahead. I'm so used to it.
No, you say what you were going to say. I can save mine.
I was just going to say, I think it's funny how these, they aren't really journalists. They don't have any educational background. They're just bloggers who are making things up from things falling out of the sky. And they, in turn, they look arrogant and naive, dumb, and end up benefiting the people that they're talking about in the first place, because we can come out and say, hey, we're out in the open. We're not anonymous. We're talking about it. Stan came out. He said his quote. I'm sure Flex, has no beef about it either. And it ends up making these guys look stupid. So
yep.
I like his attitude about his... about it.
Well, here's Stan also talking a little bit more about his gym and what it's all about, Flex Wheeler Fitness. Here's Stan.
Yeah, I started the Flex Wheeler Fitness, late last year. And, initially I was just going to open up a gym and, and put all the things in there that I wanted to use to train over the course of the last year or 2 years. You know, I've had the opportunity to train with all over the country and with a lot of great trainers, powerlifting and bodybuilding. So no place in town up here had all the things I wanted. They didn't have the monoliths, the bands, the chains, the, you know, all the equipment that, you know, the dumbbells up to 200 pounds. You know, you can't get that at LA Fitness in 24 hours. So so I decided I was going to put a gym together and some of the equipment that I already had and buy some more. As I got to talking to Flex about it, he said, hey, why don't we use my name on the gym, and then, you know, we can put out some marketing materials, and maybe somewhere throughout the country or internationally where his name's still really popular, you know, we can do a franchise opportunity for folks if they want to utilize his name to grow their gym. So I thought that was a great idea. So we, you know, we moved ahead with it, and the thing didn't come together until, you know, late in the fall, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas time. So with the holidays and the families and everything, and Flex living in San Jose and me being up here in Seattle, we didn't have the chance to get him up here to shoot the commercial with me, but he's going to come up in April for the Emerald Cup, and at that time we'll shoot some more videos and, you know, promote the gym some more together.
Okay.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds really cool.
And, you know, Stan is being the world's strongest bodybuilder. He's also a power lifter. So a lot of the equipment in there, he's got, you know, the 200-pound dumbbells, and he's got the all of the mono lift for squatting and everything. It's actually, if you get a chance to see the video, if you Google it on YouTube or whatever, it's a pretty neat gym, and it's definitely a place that I'd be interested in working out.
I used to power lift.
Yeah, I know. You've done everything. You bodybuilded, you power lifted, figure, bikini. You've done everything.
Oh, what can I say? I'm a Gemini. I just can't keep my attention. But yeah, I love powerlifting. It's fun. It's really cool.
I've not power lifted, and I've gotten injured so many times that, you know, I've asked Stan, you know, off the air, and I don't have a quote about this, but it always makes me, you know, I don't understand how somebody cannot be worried about being injured. And I know Stan doesn't even allow those thoughts to go into his head.
Mm-hmm.
Like me personally, you know, I'm not bench pressing 600 pounds, but let's say if I'm bench pressing something close to, you know, what I can do for 4 to 6, the thought always crosses through my head. Ooh, I don't want to tear a pec. I don't want to hurt myself. So to do that on a regular basis, it's got to take a special mindset, because I get too worried about hurting myself.
It does. But I mean, that goes with everything, I think, that you do athletic or sports wise, because it actually goes with anything you apply yourself to, because you are what you think. And right. So if you're going to go into it with that kind of fearful, almost anxiety driven, you're almost planting the seed there. But powerlifting, of course, I never bench press like very, very much. You have to be really warm. You have to warm up beforehand, and you just have to make sure that everything is nice and loose, and you just have to go in there almost and disassociate yourself and imagine that you're the Hulk when you're lifting this huge weight. Yeah, it's a trip too. Once you get it, you look at it and go, holy cow, I can't even believe I just did that. It's fun.
We have to get you back into powerlifting. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I want to be the world's strongest. What would I be?
You don't want to be the world's strongest woman. Those are enormous women.
No, I wouldn't say woman, but I'd say pro figure.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool.
Right, girl? Could I do that? I don't
know. Yeah. That would be... Actually,
do they have any of that?
No, but I could tell you, we could talk to Robin Chang, and that would be interesting to have... instead of the world's strongest bodybuilder, to do world's strongest figure.
Figure competitor.
Yeah, I know. You know, Aaron Stern is a monster.
Oh, my goodness. Strength. Yeah, I'd love to see that girl in action.
I've seen Erin Stern.
I actually trained with her.
I saw you train with her.
Yeah, she is just like such an athlete and so driven. It just makes you want to go too, even though you feel like you're gonna pass out and you can't go anymore. Just her energy around you makes you go.
She works out. I've trained with her a bunch of times, me and her, and she trains just like a dude, you know. Like, she wants to do as much weight as possible, and you know, like, she the last time we worked out, she did she bench pressed 155.
Wow.
I think for eight, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's strong.
Well, you know, she's a pro track athlete too.
Of course.
I don't know what the organization she sprints and jumps for, but yeah, she's a track athlete as well.
I think Stacy, that she is the best high jumper in the world over 30 years old. Female high jumper in the world at 30 years old.
Don't quote me on that. Her feet are so fast. When we were doing our warm-ups, she just started doing these quick cleans, and she was moving so fast you couldn't even see her feet.
I saw her doing that. Remember, we were there. I was working out with Lee, and we were watching, and I was like, "Man, if I were to even attempt that, I can guarantee you I would be injured." So
I love it. That's my kind of training right there.
Well, I got one more quote.
I think we should try it. Let's convince them to do that.
Yeah, right. Oh, that them to do that. I thought you meant me and you to do those whatever she was doing. But yeah,
well, that too.
Yeah, people, we could do a video of that, and everybody would get a good laugh at me, I'm sure.
Go to your next quote.
So one other quote I got from Stan is one of the things with Stan is him being the world's strongest bodybuilder. People compare him to Ronnie Coleman all the time. Ronnie Coleman did some amazing feats of strength in his regular workouts. And if you've seen the video, Ronnie Coleman, unbelievable. You've seen him press the 200-pound dumbbells like some people press the 50-pound dumbbells. Yeah. And do some crazy deadlifts and stuff. So I asked Stan how he feels about people on the internet comparing him to Ronnie Coleman, and where does he think he stands? So here's what Stan had to say about that.
Oh, I'm never going to be one to run out and try and compare myself to Ronnie Coleman. I look at him as the best bodybuilder of all time and probably one of the strongest bodybuilders of all time. I put out a video with Ronnie's list in it just because I couldn't find anything that Ben or Johnny did that was anywhere close. And, I wanted to point out to folks, just what the pinnacle of power is in bodybuilding, and that was always Ronnie Coleman. You know, I don't think anybody, including myself, has ever achieved some of his great videos with his big lifts. But I used him and his videos as incentive for me, as motivation to me. I watched him for years and years and years, and I always thought that made it achievable. If somebody could do it, then I could strive for it. So those were the numbers that I shot for. I did try and go for the lifts that Ronnie had done. You know, his deadlifts, his benches, his squats, and that provided a fire for me. I wasn't chasing Ben's numbers or Johnny's numbers. I wanted to chase the best of all time. But, it was never to make a comparison. He's the best bodybuilder of all time. And I think that if he had trained specifically for powerlifting like I've done many times over the years with a coach, that he would have been, even stronger yet. But he did his lifts, as a course of regular training. And what's really incredible about his lifts is the sheer volume. Even when he pulled his 800 for two, I think he just pulled 750 for five and maybe 700 for eight. So it was all part of a workout for him. This is incredible to watch. People will always speculate about the strongest of all time. And, I have what I'm good at. I have my niche. I have some single lifts and I'm good at all three. And so my powerlifting total, is always going to be up there as one of the best. I can't say that I can bench more than anybody or deadlift more than anybody or squat more than anybody. There's some people that have some pretty awesome individual lifts, including Ronnie, but I powerlifted. So I had a three lift total that was one of the best in the world. And that'll always be my thing. And we'll let other people decide who's the best of all time. I think that's behind us. We're looking forward to this year to see who's going to step up and try and compete in the current World's Strongest Pro Bodybuilder. There's a couple names circulating out there, and I'll be happy to take on any comers.
All right, Stacy, before we get to our survey question of the week, I wanted to mention one little inside information on Flex Wheeler, because I did do a little research, and maybe we'll do a further story and hopefully maybe even get a quote from Flex. Flex Wheeler does not work exclusively for muscular development anymore. He hasn't posted on their board since September. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, and I tried to get some information on that. It turns out Flex no longer has an exclusive contract with MD. In fact, he works just like an independent contractor. So you'll see him probably working at the Flex Pro Show in LA for MD. But in fact, he is a free agent. So I guess he could technically work for anybody.
Okay.
Just an interesting side.
That is. I didn't know that.
Yeah, just an interesting side. So if you want to hire Flex Wheeler to do something for you, Stacy, you could do it.
Well, you know, I could use an assistant. You know me, I'm always behind. You're always calling. Where are you? What are you doing? I'm running as fast as I can, Aaron. I'm sorry.
Well, for the right amount of money, it'll probably be a lot of money, but I'm sure Flexwin might be interested. So,
yeah, I probably couldn't afford it.
Our survey, I have to give credit where credit is due, Stacey. I got the survey question idea from Mike Popkin, who is a longtime childhood friend of Dave Palumbo and now a friend of mine. And he actually sends, every week, he sends me critiques of not just Heavy Muscle Radio, but also our new show, Access Bodybuilding. And he's the one who suggested the survey question. So I just want to give full credit to where credit is due. Mike Popkin, also known as Pop-Tart. So...
Pop-Tart.
So, Pop-Tart, he didn't actually suggest this particular question, but he did suggest the whole idea. And this week's question was, how does your family feel about you competing and dieting? Which is, I thought, was a great question.
Great question. Right?
And I got a bunch of quotes from people to tell us, you know, we got a variety of answers from, you know, the positive to the negative. So let's start with the first on our list. And we will start with my friend, IFBB Pro 202, Jose Raymond. And let's see what Jose has to say about his family. Do they understand about the competing and dieting or not?
Let's see.
Okay, here's Jose.
Well, when I first started competing in bodybuilding back in 1993, my family was, you know, supportive to a degree. Obviously, my older brother Tito is what got me into it, so he was very supportive. But the rest of my family, you know, they were just glad I wasn't out getting into trouble. But still kind of didn't understand why I was prancing around in those panties and, you know, dieting the way I was and getting kind of moody and whatnot. But as the years went by and I stuck to it, and it has certainly been a stress reliever for me and kept me out of trouble. And once they started seeing me getting some magazine coverage, and now with all the coverage on the internet and they seeing that I'm actually doing pretty well in it, they're really... supportive now, although they still think it's kind of weird and don't understand why I'm so strict on my diet. But for the most part, they're really happy that I'm doing something that I love and I'm good at it.
Okay, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Next on our list, Michael Liberatore, another friend of mine. And let's see what he says his parents think and family think about his competing.
I'm pretty lucky. My family, you know, supports, you know, bodybuilding all the way around. They understand that there's times of the year that I diet and I have to bring my food or they have to make specific things. I think my grandmother makes it the hardest because she's always like, oh, you're dieting again? She makes good food. But for the most part, you know, my friends and everybody, you know, this is... been doing this since 04, even though it's not a long time. I think everybody knows, but I think it was harder in the beginning because they didn't understand why I was doing this to my body or why I was taking time to do this or that. So it's not that they didn't support the beginning, but they just didn't understand it. But now after winning and turning pro and hopefully, you know, continuing to rise, you know, they definitely enjoy it and support me 100%.
Okay, Stacy. Now, I've been trying to get some women for our survey questions.
Thank goodness.
And we are going to get more.
Set with you.
I know. When we do have I have a whole list of women to call and
I know. I need to get on that ball too.
And, yeah, and you're the expert with you have more numbers than I do when it comes to women, at least I'm sure.
You said that out loud.
But one of my favorites and a really super cute personality. You know, it's funny. We have so many attractive women in mm-hmm. our industry.
Yeah.
There's almost all of the bikini pros and figure pros and fitness, they're all attractive women. But what stands out to me the most is sometimes this personality.
Right.
And people will think when I say Nathalia Mello, they'll probably think about her butt. But what I think about is, honestly, is how cute a personality she has. So I thought I would give her a call, the Brazilian bombshell.
And her cute little accent to boot.
I know. So I got a great quote from her about her family and how they feel. And here's Nathalia.
Okay.
Well, when I first started competing, my mom saw how the regimen was. She saw I was a complete nutcase. And after I started doing better and better in the sport, she, like in the beginning, she kind of thought that I was in it just to mess around and then I would quit. And now that she sees that I'm a little bit more serious about it, she supports me way more. She doesn't really understand the importance of the Arnold Classic or the Olympia for the sport and for myself, because she's still not very familiar with the sport once she lives in Brazil. And this sport's not very big there. But whenever she starts seeing the magazines and stuff like that, she gets super, super, super excited. And I try to explain to her how big these competitions are. And hopefully she'll make it to the Arnold Classic, and that's going to be the first time she's going to see me competing ever.
And last on our list, since I had Stan Efferding on the phone, I said, Stan, what about your family? Because Stan has actually been competing quite a while, even though he just went pro relatively recently. So here's what Stan says his family felt about his competing and dieting.
Yeah, I started competing over 23 years ago, 1988, and even a few years before that, all the training that goes into competing. And my folks, they were always real supportive. I went to the gym to try and get bigger so I could play college soccer. I had a scholarship, and I just fell in love with it. And they've always been supportive of anything I've done. So back then, I think there may have been less of a stigma than there is today. But it's always good to see somebody, getting into exercising as opposed to the alternative options at that age, which most of the kids in college that I was hanging around with were partying and drinking. So I think it was a good alternative. So I've always had good support with it, and it's always been important to me.
All right, Stacey, since we need at least one other woman, how does your family feel?
Oh, yay, you're going to go. I was like, I hope I can say something.
Say something, Stacey.
I have to go along the lines with what Natalia said, and she was talking about how her mom thought she was just crazy at first, and she was just going to go into it and quit. And I actually competed for the very first time when my daughter was 10 months old, and it was a bodybuilding competition. It was very local. Small, and I think I talked about it on our very first show,
right.
But I swear my family thought I was anorexic, and they thought I had eating disorders and thought I was crazy. And and then when I got back into it just recently, a couple years ago, they were a little bit more supportive, but as I became more successful, they understood it more, and they realized that it was just like any other hobby or sport or job that you decide to take. It's just got so much of a different lifestyle, and now they're very super duper proud of me. And you kind of have to prove that to them, that it's not this some crazy underground world where everyone's strutting around half naked. There's a methodology. Can I speak? there's a goal in mind. So I understand what the new athletes come into with family pressuring them and making them feel like they're suffering from some sort of crisis or eating disorder, because mine certainly did. Not anymore, though. I'm very happy.
Good. And I can tell you, for me, my parents being Jewish parents, and especially my grandparents, they don't understand it whatsoever. So
they still not?
They don't want me to compete at all. They don't like the competing. They like what I do now, and they're like my grandparents and my relatives, not my immediate family. I don't fully understand what I do, but my folks do love it, because obviously compared to what I've done, as you know from last interview, this is I guess to them it's more than anything, it's shocking. Like, that I'm doing something like this, that it's like a public kind of deal. So they're supportive of this, but if I decide to do another bodybuilding contest, I can almost be insured and guaranteed that they will not be supportive, and they will not come to the show, because they don't ever come to the shows.
They don't get it.
They don't understand.
I've never really had much of my family come to my shows either, but yeah. What do you do?
Exactly. That's one thing. I certainly never did bodybuilding to get the approval of my family, because that would have been the exact opposite way to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep, exactly. Well, I think it's good to know that we are not alone.
Yes.
That's a good, great question that you brought up, because I think a lot of people wonder, is my family just crazy, or am I crazy? What's going on? So, no, you're not alone.
Right. And Stacey, let me just put this out there before we do our birthdays, which we unfortunately unfortunately, we forgot to do the birthdays last week, so we have 2 weeks worth of birthdays.
Long list.
But I do want to say that if anybody has a survey question that they think would be good to ask athletes or celebrities, IFBB pros, whatever, please send the question to myself or Stacy. And as always, we accept feedback and everything else. Any comments you'd like to send us? And my email address is Jubacca, B-A-C-C-A, at rxmuscle.com. And Stacy's is just Stacy with an E-Y at rxmuscle.com. So we do look forward to hearing from you. And I know we got a few really nice fan mails. And and we respond to all of them. So write us.
I was just getting ready to say thank you to those who have already written us and told us your comments, and we've gotten a couple really, really cool ones, and also some more feedback about the whole creepy photographer stuff. And so I think that for those who don't think we'll read or respond, we do, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Send them. All right, Stacy.
So here we go.
Do your birthday.
You want to sing it? You want to sing the song?
The happy birthday song?
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
No, oh, you don't like when I put you on the spot, do you?
Nobody wants it. No. You would be the happy birthday girl.
I will sing it. No, I won't sing it, but I'll say them.
Okay, say them.
So here we go. We have this week's birthdays. Mark Alvisi's turning 34 on January 12th. My girl, your friend, Michael, you should say this one. Who?
I have no idea. I'm not looking at the list.
Michael,
that's
Liberatore,
you.
January 13th.
That's right.
We have Michael Amanda Liberatore. Eva Sweet Capri, January 14th.
Right.
Ross Erstling, January 14th. Tracy Greenwood, IFBB Pro Fitness, January 15th. Rodney Roller is January 16th. He's going to be 44 years old. Monday, we have Lori Lefrere still. Did I see?
Steele, yes, IFBB Pro.
Okay.
Lori Steele.
Okay. Thank you. See, you got to help me here. Milos.
Yes, Milos Sarsev, who we know is... I think is hiding in Mexico,
MIA.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Okay. So happy birthday anyway.
Yeah.
Shannon Metroid, she's a fitness, IFBB Fitness.
Trey Bennett's wife, you know her,
Trey
right?
Trey Bennett's, right, I do. She is a doll. Happy birthday, January 18th, she's 42. Natalia, you just got a quote from her.
Yep.
Milo is January 19th, 27 years old. Mm-hmm. Jason Stern, January 19th, he is going to be 41 years old. And then Sean Brian Andros is going to be
Sean and Andros. Yes.
Sorry, Sean. 29 years old, January 20th. And then we also have Fairness Tevaquoli, who is Hani Rambod's girlfriend or fiance. They're going to be a newlywed too this year. Oh. It's her birthday today.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Stacy, next Sunday, you can say a big happy birthday to me because it'll be my birthday.
Really? On the day we record?
Yep. So next
week. You've got to sing it for sure. You know that, right?
Yeah, I expect that, of course.
I will. I totally, totally will.
All right. Excellent. Excellent.
Well, I think, gosh, man, that was a lot of stories that we
wrapped
about this session. We did pretty good. I don't know how long we've been recording for, but it was all pretty substantial.
Yes, I think we did a good job, Stacy.
We've got your interview with Lonnie Teeper in regards to our very first show's
Yes, he addresses being a racist or not being a racist, which for the record, just obviously I do not believe Lonnie is a racist, as we stated originally.
Me either.
Lonnie goes into that. He tells us a little bit about bodybuilding before the internet, and hopefully you'll get to see me and Lonnie actually get to see me be Dr. Phil and get Lonnie and Dave Palumbo back together as friends. So it's an interesting interview, and hopefully everybody enjoys it.
You can be Dr. Phil and I'll be Oprah Winfrey.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks, Aaron, and we'll look forward to talking to you here soon.
All right. Talk to you next week, Stacy. Thank you.
Have a great week, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Wow.
All right, welcome back to Access Bodybuilding, and the interview of the week is none other than my friend, the Swami, Lonnie Teeper. Lonnie, how are you doing today, buddy?
How are you?
Very well, very well. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And I know this is a this is our new format, so we do like a 20-minute celebrity kind of human interest interview. And I thought,
well, I'm flattered that you'd consider me for the celebrity segment.
Of course, who better? Who is who? Lonnie, you can answer this. I know the answer, but who has emceed more shows than Lonnie Teeper?
I don't know, but I have done around 85 professional shows, and I've done, I think, 220-some amateur shows. I know I have over 300 total, which means I'm old. You know, you can't achieve those numbers unless you're old. So I would say, at least at this point in time, I've emceed probably the most shows in the history of the industry.
Yeah, well, Lonnie, I brought you on today to talk about a bunch of things, but the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was basically the difference between the bodybuilding industry and everything that goes along with it between now with the internet and before the advent of the internet. Obviously, you've been doing this for, what, 25 years?
Yeah, I first started writing for Muscle and Fitness and Flex and Sports Fitness way back in 1983. I covered my first show in 1986 for Flex magazine. It was a pro show out here in LA, the Universal Amphitheater, and then I started writing for Iron Man in 86 and started covering all the shows. So yeah, it was a whole different world. I remember going to the first Women's Nationals with John Balick in September of 1986, and when after the show we were flying back, and he said, I said, I'll have the story to you in a day. He right. says, oh, you don't have to worry about it. You know, I mean, these contest things can go in like 6 months later. And well, I come from a mainstream journalism background. I have an undergraduate degree in radio and television and journalism, had been a sports editor of a daily newspaper, and had written for several daily newspapers. So I was used to covering ball games and doing the story right then and there.
Right.
And this was before we had the emails and the computers was on the typewriters. And we had to, like, fax in the stories. And when I would cover Dodger games, we'd even chase the lead. What I mean by that is you would send a lead in as you got near deadline, and then if the thing changed, like Aaron Singerman hits a grand slam home run in the ninth inning, you know, you send in a new lead. Aaron Singerman's grand slam home run with two outs in the ninth inning gave the Dodgers a 6-4 victory over the Houston Astros or something. So I was used to, when John said, no, these things don't run for months, it doesn't matter. And that's the way it was. You know, the way you found out about a contest and what somebody thought about it and how good the competitors looked is you would read the magazines like 3 months later, 4 months later. And so I was the first one to do that. I said, no, you want to have an edge over your competitor. So, you know, this has got to go in your next issue.
Right.
And so we did that, and, of course, everybody else followed suit. When you saw that, when they saw that Iron Man was doing it, everybody else then started upping the ante on the contest coverage, too. But even with that way, it still wasn't getting out any earlier than 4 to 6 weeks after a contest. And we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the pictures to look at. You know, all you had is if you were either at the show or you talked to somebody that was at the show.
Right.
Like, I remember our first Ironman Pro was 1990. That was the first of 20 consecutive years. And I remember dreading it, you know, going into the gym or answering the phone the next 2 weeks,
because mm-hmm.
there were 150 questions. Who won the show? Who was second? Who was third? It got so bad, I actually typed out results and would bring it to the gym and said, can you put this on the front counter and hear if anybody asked about it? And I would tell them, well, the results are in the front. But then they wanted more detail. Well, how good did Sean Ray look? Was he really cut? Was he better than he was at the Nationals? You know, and so it was a whole different ball game. I mean, now, my Lord, you know, you 10 minutes into the prejudging, you go onto the internet and
Sean Ray and Dave Palumbo and everybody else, all these websites are telling you who was in the first call out and who was in the second call out.
Yeah, it's amazing. I heard from back from some other people. I don't remember. Maybe it was John Romano or one of the Barbarian Brothers we've interviewed in the past. That people would call Gold's Gym Venice Beach after the Olympia. You know. Dozens and even hundreds of times a day trying to get the Olympia results.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember 1983 when Samir Banute won the Olympia, and a friend of mine, Dr. Eric Sternlich, was helping him. Mm-hmm. And I was calling Eric constantly. What's the results of the Olympia? I think it was in Germany.
Right.
And he was waiting for Samir to call him, so that's how I found out that Samir won. And then, as a matter of fact, at the Nationals that same year was up in San Jose. And that show had some of the greatest NPC athletes ever who never turned pro. Two of them were Rory Laedlmeyer and Matt Mendenhall.
Yeah, both
amazing
athletes.
Rory and I worked out in the same gym. And Rory was going in as the favorite in 1983. And I remember Eric called me, and there was a phone conversation telling me that Rory was second. And then the next year he called me from New Orleans to say Rory slipped to fifth.
Mm.
You know, this was all done by telephone and conversations, and nobody had any pictures. Nobody had anything for literally for weeks at a time. It's night and day difference.
And now at the Olympia and at the Arnold, you can actually watch a free webcast, so you can see the events.
You can see it right there without even going.
Unbelievable,
yeah,
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Does that hurt, though, Lonnie? I mean, are we better off as a bodybuilding industry today because of it, or are we worse off?
Well, you mean worse off maybe with attendance or
I remember, I'll tell you what I remember, because I got interested in bodybuilding very young, and around 1990 91 92, I would drive hours and hours to go to a bodybuilder seminar. I flew to Vegas and to a bunch of different shows to see the bodybuilders compete. Whereas now, to spend all that money, to put out all that money, especially for somebody who's, a teenager, to put together, save money to go to spend money to go to a bodybuilding show, when you can get all of the results on the internet, including the posing routines, the videos, commentary by somebody like yourself, does that take away?
Well, I guess it takes away in a sense that if you're a promoter and you're trying to get people to go watch the show, that some people may not go because it saves them the cost of a ticket and gas and food and all that stuff, and they can stay home and, like you say, watch it on the internet. The crowds at the Arnold Sports Festival weekend and the Olympia weekend still have remained high despite having a webcast.
Right.
But the numbers haven't been real high at other pro men's bodybuilding show. Matter of fact, we did the Ironman for 20 years and did it by itself. And I think the only show that stands by itself now is Steve Weinberger's New York Pro, but he may have a 202 and under with it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he does. He does. Kevin English has won. Yeah. Twice,
right,
three times.
Yeah. Kevin's dominated that area.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, the Flex Pro, which is coming up, I believe, on February 19th, is having the pro men by itself. But other than that, as you know, because you cover all these shows, they're now combined with these huge expos,
right,
and or with NPC shows.
Right. So amateur shows is fills the seats and brings in the money a lot of times.
Yes. So, we did the Ironman for 20 years, and we had the most spectacular lineups you could ever have on a show other than the Olympia and the Arnold. And really, the tickets sold were around the same amount year in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't, you would think you'd have 3,000 or 4,000 paid customers to see a lineup that we used to present, but we didn't.
Right.
So in the last couple years, the numbers went down, and I think other promoters have experienced the same thing when they've tried to run something by itself.
Right.
It really hasn't been successful for the most part. Like I said, Steve still has his New York Pro, and Flex is going to put on the Flex Pro. So they do have a Flex Bikini model search with it, which right. will encourage, you know, family and friends to go see them too. But
sure.
it's going to be interesting. But it's a whole different ball game. Yes, I've had people tell me, admit to me, and, you know, first of all, I want to give a thanks and a tribute to bodybuilding.com, whether it affects attendance or doesn't affect attendance, to do what they did. And, you know, they paid a lot of money for the rights to do these webcasts, to share these shows with people who can't go to the shows.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a great thing that they did. Did it hurt the Ironman? I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell. John Balick told me that he didn't, when they looked at the geographic region of who watched it, it really did not hurt the show.
Hmm.
But you know what? It's, each year, you know, you got to keep up with the Joneses and you know, look at all the talk radio we have now, like your show, and you have another show now, and you're on with Dave, and now you have this show.
Right.
And so things just, with time, they get more advanced all the time, just like you're talking about an iPhone. I mean, I never wanted a cell phone. I never wanted email. And now I'm thinking, maybe I should try to get one of these iPads, or should I try to figure out an iPhone, you know? And these are all these things that, you know, with time, things just become more advanced, more modern, and, you know, it is what it is.
You when
know?
You say, Lonnie, when we talked earlier, you mentioned, you know, that the 90s and the late 80s were really the golden years of bodybuilding, you know, in California, but in general. I wonder, do you think that what do you think has changed?
Here's what I think the difference is, Aaron. You look at the lineups we had in the Ironman.
Okay.
We had terrific lineups year in and year out. Flex Wheeler won that show 5 times.
Right.
Chris Cormier won that show 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Ray won it. Vince Taylor won it twice. J.J. Marsh won it. Ronnie Coleman didn't win it. Jay Cutler won it. Dexter Jackson won it. We had all-star lineups. Sean came back one year and got, I think he got 3rd or 4th in the Ironman.
Right.
I mean, it was a spectacular line. Here was the difference. Back then, number one, we didn't have 10 or 11 or 12 professional shows as it's expanded to today. I think we had 4 or 5 contests.
Right.
We had the Ironman, then we went to the Arnold, because I emceed all the shows back then. So we had the Ironman, the Arnold, then we had a show in San Jose, which became the San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the Night of Champions, which is now the New York Pro. And gosh, I don't really know if there was a lot other than that. I'm sure there was maybe 1 or 2 other shows here and there that didn't last every year.
Right.
So there weren't that many shows.
There were the Grand Prix shows in Europe. Do you
count
those?
Well, they had the shows in Europe after the Olympia, but some people did not do those.
Right.
And they also did not have the multitude of contracts that exist today, where some of these competitors are getting tremendous contracts from like BSN and Muscle Tech and other companies, like Gaspari and so forth. So there's, you know, if you can make more money just from your contract than you can by competing in a contest, they're going to take the same attitude, why should I compete?
Of course.
I'm making more money by not competing.
Absolutely.
And I can understand that viewpoint, too.
And a lot of these guys also, you know, like we were talking about earlier off the air, is that you, if by competing on occasion, you possibly risk an annual contract. If you do really poorly, say you
right.
do 4 shows and you do great in 1 and then 3 you do bad, all of a sudden maybe they're not going to give you $100,000 next year. They're going to give you $45,000.
Exactly. So there's a lot of stake. I mean, it could go both ways. There's a chance to up your value, and there's a chance your value may be decreased. But if you only had, like we had the Ironman, the Arnold, and the San Francisco, a lot of those had the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't another show till the Night of Champions, which was always at the end of May, like 2.5-3 months later. And then Ed and Betty, I think, started IMC to show for them, I believe, in 2002. I don't know if that was their first Europa or somewhere around that time. but there weren't shows in the summer.
The Southwest Pro Show, I remember that
Southwest
one.
Pro was 2002, I believe.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah, and, you know, but it was nothing compared to the, what they've done with, the, with those shows now,
no,
how it's
no.
expanded tremendously. So, first of all, you didn't have a lot of shows to do, so you got the cream of the crop doing your shows. Number two, because they did not have these mega contracts, even the people that had contracts, they weren't like the contracts that some of the athletes have today.
No.
So you needed to do these shows for the money as well.
Right.
So that, you know, gave us what I consider the golden era of bodybuilding. When you have a lineup of Flex Wheeler, Chris Cormier, Sean Ray, Paul Gallet, Bob Paris, God, I can go on and on. J.J. Marsh, Vince Taylor, Ronnie Coleman, Jay Cutler, you know, in and out different years.
Doesn't that mean, though, that, Lonnie, that a lot of those guys were, like, practically starving to, because the money, obviously, if there's, if you got 10 great guys in the lineup, only, you know, a few of them are walking away with money.
Well, that's true, and it's also how did you spend your money? How did you invest your money? And I think some of these guys, it's no secret that they didn't do the smartest things with their money when they did have an opportunity to you know, invest it the right way.
Sure.
And a lot of people were buying the fancy cars with the big wheels, bouncing up and down with the stereos in the back, and, you know, spending all the monies on cars and stuff instead of investing it. And I don't know if they'd be well off today, but they could be better off today than some of them are that really don't have anything.
Right, right, absolutely.
But that's, it's true, just a whole different ball. You know, it's no different than you look at the NBA or the NFL playoffs are right now. You know, look at the money that the top players are getting in the NFL or the NBA. NBA, they're getting, some people are getting $25 million a year.
Right, right.
You look back in 1990, if somebody was making $2 million a year, it's like, holy smokes.
Right.
So it just with the times, you know, and I think having all these extra shows, a lot of people are complaining, well, these lineups aren't that great.
Right.
At these shows compared to the Arnold or the Iron, the old Iron Man or the Olympian stuff. Well, they're not going to be if you're going to have that many contests.
That's true. You know, J.M. Mannion told me the events, this is including bodybuilding figure, bikini, you know, bodybuilding, all of the things put together, they're having 82 individual IFBB events this year.
Wow.
Which is a record.
Well, but you know what? You're talking about figure and bikini.
I'm including everything, yeah.
Yeah, but those people can compete a lot.
Yeah, they could compete. They could do 10 shows a year.
They can do 10 shows a year. A bodybuilder can't do that.
No, no.
So it's much more difficult. And when we have had bodybuilders try to do 6, 8, 10 shows a year, there's been problems.
Yeah, look at Silvio, obviously, I don't know if he had a problem as a result of that, but he tried to do that, and then Hita Tata tried to do that, and, you know, he had a problem.
And Wheeler used to do it. He used to compete all the time.
Yeah, and he obviously had a problem.
Had health problems and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if that was the cause of it, but it's hard for a bodybuilder to I think everybody should be doing the Arnold as well as the Olympia.
Of course.
I don't see why somebody can't peak twice a year. But
like Phil Heath
should be doing the Arnold.
Yeah.
He should be.
It's a great title.
It's a great title. It's $130,000. He would go in as the strong favorite. I know his head's not in it. I know he's tired, and I can understand that. And I had this discussion with Sean Ray. He says, well, Lee Haney told him that, you know, if you want to be Mr. Olympia, you can only train for the Mr. Olympia. And I said, well, that's not true.
No.
Let's take Phil Heath, for example. First, Phil Heath was every bit as good at the Olympia as he was at the Arnold. He
sure.
peaked twice.
Right.
Jay Cutler was not as good last year as he was the year before at the Olympia.
And he only did
the Olympia.
And it's not like Phil Heath is one of these guys that has a hard time coming in shape. He may have not been at his best at the Olympia before last, whether because he was sick or whatever, but he was still in shape.
Yeah, and plus, he can't get any bigger. If he's going to get bigger, he's going to lose the aesthetics.
Right.
Dexter Jackson was just as good a shape at the Arnold as he was at the Olympia. Branch right. Warren was every bit as good at the Olympia as he was at the Arnold. So,
right.
you know, I think, but on the other, you know, I'm very objective. I teach at the college level, so I'm a pretty rational person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand the other side of the coin, too. If you're making this much money
from a supplement company.
Right. $100,000, $130,000 may not look like what it looks like to me and you. Exactly.
Yeah. Particularly with, you know, all the money that it takes to prepare.
Sure.
And, you know, it has more to do with that, you know, and I talk with Jay Cutler about that, and Jay makes sense when he talks like that. You know, well, I make this much a month through my supplement company and through these other endorsements. That's way more
sure
than I would make. And to Jay's credit, he did win the Arnold three times. Right. I mean, he did do it three times.
And that's part of the thing that escapes me is that Phil Heath has no major titles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Phil Heath, he did win the Ironman, and I would put him as the favorite going into this year's Arnold. He was a controversial second last year, not only the Arnold, but some people had him even winning the Olympia. I think it'd be his show to lose. No disrespect to great bodybuilders like Branch Warren and Dexter Jackson, who definitely could win that show too. But I don't know. I just think, but I haven't talked with Phil. I don't know what he's thinking in his head. I don't know what other commitments he has.
Right.
I know Jim Lorimer certainly feels he should do it because Jim's the promoter.
Of course.
But they're six months apart.
Of course. Exactly.
You know, so but I would say if you take out the super-duper contracts, because Phil Heath signed a mega deal with Muscle Tech.
He's probably making, I mean, I don't want to make an exact guess on the radio, but let's just say he's making well into the six figures.
Yes.
Yeah, well into the six figures.
So. Yeah, and so the thing of it is, the money, like you said, $130,000, but to me it's not just the money.
It's the title.
That's a great title to win. Sure. It's a great contest. You know, the ambience, it's full of electricity there in Columbus. You know, the whole town is there for that event, and it's a little biased, I'm the MC.
Exactly, and you're the MC, so I mean.
So let's just forget everything I just said. Yeah, so anyway, yeah. but maybe he'll come back next year and try to do it. I'm just saying, Jay Cutler, I guess I could say it. Jay's won it three times, and he's making so much money with all his endorsements. You know, it sounds weird to say that he'd really lose a lot of money. That show, but there's not too many people I think that have Jay's contract or Phil Heath's contract.
Right, you're right. Let me ask you one other thing about the internet, and we'll move on to something else. One other phenomenon that I find interesting about the internet, you know, one thing, Lonnie, is, you know, I basically started my career in bodybuilding in the industry on the internet, whereas, you know, it didn't even exist back when you started yours at all. I mean, there was not only no bodybuilding on the internet, there was no internet at all. So one of the things that I noticed that I think is very unusual and different with specifically bodybuilding is we have a lot of people on the internet that are fans, but they're what I call hater fans. They follow the sport. They're on the internet talking about the sport. They know the athletes. They know the ins and outs of the even dieting and even drugs they know about. And yet, for some reason, they seem to hate everything about the sport, the people in it, and even people like me or you that are in the media side of the sport. What do you make of these people that spend all their day on this, doing that?
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. I'm one of those people that get attacked. At the Ironman in 2003, I initiated a weigh-in. I thought it
which
really
I love, which I loved. I have to say, I loved the weigh-in.
I initiated a weigh-in. Now, I couldn't get the guys to get down to the posing trunks. You know, it was the night before the show, but some would take their shirts off and weigh-in. I'd let them keep their shoes on or whatever, and, you know, the backpack with the 12-pound weights in it and all that so they could weigh more. But, I mean, people are going there to see people's physiques. Sure. That's why you are a bodybuilding fan, to admire people's physiques.
Right.
So, as you know, if you were at any of those weigh-ins at the Ironman,
right.
Bro, I don't know if you went or not.
No, unfortunately, I never got to witness the weigh-ins at the
Ironman. Okay, I did them for 4 years in a row in Pasadena.
I wish they would do them at the Olympia press conference.
I wish they would, too, and I would guess the weight before the guy would get on. Now, they were probably about 10 pounds lighter because they had all these clothes on and meals with them and all that. But, you know, the fans, I would encourage, hey, let's see what you got. Take your shirt off, or let's see those wheels or something.
Right.
That's what the fans wanted to see. That's why they're there. You know, that's like if I'm hosting a show honoring singers or dancers, the fans would like to see them sing. They would like to see them dance. If you go to a John Bon Jovi concert, you want to see Bon Jovi sing. So, you know, sometimes I'd get these people to
you know, show us what you got. And I'm just totally gay because I do that, you know? I mean, and that's everybody on the internet. You know, what a gay. He's the gayest person in the sport. Look at him looking at Silvio Samuel's legs and all. Well, that was my job at the weigh-in, to try to increase interest. That's what you do. That's what the industry is.
Of course.
You know, so, I mean, and this guy's never lifted a weight in his life. What is he doing in this sport? Well, number one, I've lifted weights for over 30 years. I'm definitely not a bodybuilder, obviously, but I have a master's degree in physical education, and I've taught health and physical education for over 30 years on the college level. But that's irrelevant anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you've lifted weights or not.
Look at Bob Costas. Bob Costas isn't an athlete.
Well, there's tons of them. Vin Scully's 81 years old, the greatest baseball announcer of all time. He wasn't a great baseball player.
Sure, sure. There's millions.
You can go on and on. Al Michaels, I mean, Chick Hearn and so forth. But my whole point, Aaron, is, of course I'm going to encourage somebody to take their shirt off. I remember I did a video.
Imagine Lonnie. Imagine if you were up there and they come up to weigh in and you tell and they start to take off their shirt. Like, no, please keep that. I'm not gay. Keep your clothes on.
Yeah,
keep it on, please.
Well, I did a video with Lionel Bernecki last year at Goals, and I said, show the fans what you got. You know, in other words, let's see what condition you're in. It's about 2 weeks before the Phoenix Pro, and Charles Glass was working with him, and Charles didn't want anyone to see what he looked like. Okay, made for a hell of a boring video, but. He didn't want to take the shirt off, so somebody referred to that, and look at me just begging this guy to take his clothes off for me and all this stuff. I mean, it's like, and then and you know what it is? It like extrapolates. Like one person sees a post, well, let me see if I could write something more salacious or nastier than or denigrating than this person wrote about somebody. You know, people that are writing this, you know, do you know me, any of these people? Not everybody's going to like you. I understand that. And you're entitled to your own opinion. But please, I mean, you know, keep it within reason. Jeez.
It's funny. And I, you know, I get the same amount of stuff. And so does, you know, Dave Palumbo. And
I think everybody gets you know, criticized a great. Certain websites are way more negative than other websites, where I would say 90% of the posts are negative.
Right, and you have to be prepared for that. I mean, I know.
Well, I'm kind of shocked and disappointed to you know, in all of those posts about the weigh-ins and stuff, that nobody came to my defense and said, "What do you expect a guy to do that's hosting a weigh-in at a bodybuilding show?"
That's the funny thing.
Where fans are there at the weigh-in to see what these people look like.
That's what always trips me out about some of these boards, Lonnie, is that these guys, the people on the boards, they're aware that they're on a bodybuilding board. You know what I mean? It's not like they accidentally ended up on a board having to do with gossip and opinions on bodybuilding, and they're like surprised that people are discussing bodybuilding, you know?
Yeah, those are the same people that would love to see Silvio Samuel take a sweatshirt off and show the fans what he looked like the day before he's competing at the Ironman.
Of course, of course.
And, you know, those are the same people who would love to have seen Mo Masawi's arms.
Of course.
Or, you know, I mean, there was one time at the Ironman in Pasadena, this lady was yelling from the audience, "Have that tall guy, I want that tall guy on the end, have him stand up." So I had this guy who was a foreign athlete, and he stood up. She goes, "That's not enough, have him take his clothes off. Take his clothes off, I want to see what he looks like." So I said, "Yep, she wants you to take your clothes off." So I got ripped to shreds for that. Oh, look at Lonnie Teeper begging another man to take his clothes off for him. They just totally take it out of context.
Lonnie, who weighed the most of anybody that's ever weighed in at the Ironman for the 4 years you did that?
God, you know what? I think I actually did it a fifth year. I think I did it a fifth year, because when we moved to the LA Convention Center, I also did it. We had a couple people right around 300 pounds.
Really?
I don't remember exactly who it was, but because we had so many people go through.
Didn't you weigh in Quincy Taylor one time right before a show with all his clothes on, and he was like 340 or something?
He was, I don't think he was 340, but Quincy was huge. He's a former student of mine at Cal State LA, by the way. So,
oh, really?
I got him into bodybuilding. Yeah, I met him with a shot putter at Cal State LA where I taught.
Wow, that's crazy.
And his first show that he won, it was a non-thing. It was just a fundraiser. I held it at Cal State LA, Cal State LA Championships, but Quincy won.
Wow.
1991.
He's got to be the heaviest guy.
That same show at Cal State
guy.
LA, Sean Ray guest posed 2 weeks before he won the first ever Ironman Pro. I remember those dates, February 10th, 1990, the same night that Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson.
Unbelievable. Oh, let me, before I forget, I have to mention, you know, there has been there's a thread on one of the boards talking about, and it's a ongoing story. I'm not going to bring up the whole story with you, but a story that we've been covering on Access Bodybuilding about the troubles and, I guess, kind of tribulations of Milos Sarsav. But on one of the boards, they mentioned that there was a picture of you and Milimar, Milos's, I guess, estranged. I don't think they're officially divorced yet, but estranged wife. There's a picture of you on this thread and said that at one point or another, you and Milimar dated. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, that is not accurate. I guess that depends on what your definition of a date is. What happened was I was the MC of the first ever Fitness Olympia in 1995 in Atlanta, and Milimar was in the lineup. We met, and I met her like I do at every show. And what an MC should do is I talk with each competitor and made sure that I got the pronunciation of the name right and a little bit of a history to make it a little more entertaining for the fans and to make the athlete feel better when I introduced them. You know, talk about a title they may have won or something prior to this. And then we chatted a little bit at the banquet after, and that was basically it. And then the following Arnold Classic, which would have been March 1996, which, according to my calculations, is 15 years ago, she did attend a couple functions connected with the Arnold Classic, but that was it. You know, she did go with me, but there was no fallacious affair that took place. Nothing that the way people are making it sound like I was dating her on a regular basis, that was not true. As a matter of fact, I think it wasn't more than a couple weeks later that she actually started dating Milos and ended up marrying him.
Okay, I have to ask you this, because she's got a reputation for being a little promiscuous. Did you bang her?
I can't believe you just said this on the air. Listen, I'm a health teacher. Can't you use like different terms?
Did you have relations with that woman?
No. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. No, I didn't. Okay. You know, if I recall, I don't even think I held her hand.
So there was a picture taken of us.
Somebody did take a picture of us at the banquet or something, so I guess it could look like we were dating or something, but it was nothing. It was those two, you know, Friday night and Saturday night, those two's affairs. I walked her back to her room when it was over both nights. I went back to my room, and I guess looking back, I guess I'm a pretty stupid guy, but I had more hair then, maybe I could have got lucky, but I certainly didn't, and, she was nothing but a lady with me.
Okay.
I guess that doesn't say much for me, huh? maybe I lack something, and it's something that I don't know. But I think that's hilarious that somebody even, who are these people that said she was dating Lonnie Teeper this time? Who's the person that said this?
It's so funny, Lonnie, that the people one picture in one magazine from 1995 is probably enough for some people to remember to this day and assume that that was the case. So,
well, they still do. Like people always take pictures with girls in the magazines and stuff. You know, it's paparazzi stuff. And I've had guys tell me that, you know, with all these women that you got, I go, what are you talking about? Oh, I see you in the magazine with all these girls. I said, those are all just stage shots and fun shots. And they think if they, you know, if you're in what they picture with somebody like you and Weiner, that you're Isaac Hines said, Wiener,
right? And that's right. I mean, your column of Iron Man with my client Alexis.
Yeah,
Weiner.
Are you having an affair with her?
No, I am not. Although she is a pretty Jewish girl, so
she is. That's right. Yeah,
you. She would make my mother very happy. Yeah, she made my
mom. You could do worse. But you didn't think I was going to turn around and ask you a question, did you?
Wouldn't that be?
But you see my point. You know, someone could look at that and say, "Oh, look at this, Aaron Singerman, and this figure bikini gal. You know, they got something going here."
Sure. And it happens all the time, Lonnie. So that it's not just you. I hear that quite regularly.
Yeah. So I mean, and people have a right, and part of it is entertaining. I don't go on there very often, to be honest with you. I do have other jobs. I teach at two schools. I write for Ironman. I promote the West Coast Classic. I'm promoting the Ironman Naturally in 2 weeks.
Let's talk about that for a minute. The Ironman Naturally, it's just being brought back, right? So this is something that was
We had it a long time ago, and then John Lindsay took it over. And it turned into the Max Muscle Naturals, and John also had a drug-tested show called the Pacific USA Naturals, and he changed those two shows a year ago to the Muscle Contest and the Pacific USA non-tested. So John Balick and Mark Mazurek of the Fit Expo decided to bring back the Ironman Naturally in conjunction with the Fit Expo, and it's going to be Saturday, January 29th. The Expo is the 29th and 30th. But our show is the judging's at 10. I think you're going to be there.
Unfortunately, Dave Palumbo is going to be there. Not myself.
You're not going, huh?
No, I really wanted to, but there's not enough money in the budget for a photographer.
Okay, well, the finals are at 4. Yeah. You know, the pre-judging at 10, and you know, I'm not going to get huge numbers. Looking at the parameters involving the show, it's in January. It's a full polygraph tested show. Everybody that enters has to take the polygraph. It's in, you know, early in the year. We didn't get the information up till about October, so that we probably could have got a few more people. But we're doing okay. We're getting some pretty good people that are entering the show, so I think it's going to be really fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to follow the bodybuilding.com body space finals. That goes on at 2 on the main expo stage, and we'll go on at 4. Mm-hmm. And the event has to end by 6:30, so there'll be no midnight mass here on this one.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it'll be exciting. I know we're going to have a photographer there to take all the pictures, so you'll be able to see contest pictures and stuff.
Well, make sure, you know, like if somebody's a bodybuilder on stage, that you get a picture of me introducing them so somebody can write in the internet how gay I am, because look at Lonnie Keeper drooling over this guy with his trunks on a bodybuilding stage.
Yes, I know. If not, then we'll find another time to definitely get a photo like that, Lonnie. Don't worry.
There'll be plenty of opportunities, I'm sure.
I'm sure, of course. Before we end, I would be remiss if I didn't at least bring up, because me and Dave Palumbo talk, you know, I do another show with him, Heavy Muscle Radio, and we talk regularly. I know Dave feels, I guess he said he feels hurt that he feels like he lost your friendship over, an earlier interview. I don't know how much you want to go into the interview or anything, but he feels like you and him aren't friends anymore, and he misses your friendship.
Well, first of all, Dave never lost my friendship. What it was, you know, you guys had Tanya Knight, a former great bodybuilder of yesteryear, who I did multiple cover stories on. Matter of fact, that show at Cal State LA in 1990, where Sean Ray guest posed,
right?
Tanya Knight guest posed.
Wow.
And I even went to Overland, Kansas to MC an event for Tanya Knight and her then fiance at the time.
Wow.
So, anyway, I guess she made a statement, something to the effect that I told her not to date Sean Ray because she's the golden girl and she shouldn't date black guys. That's the way that I was told.
Something to that effect.
So I got all of these, you know, they got me on the boards again, and what a racist Lonnie Teeper is and all that stuff. And all I could say, Aaron, is people have a hard time remembering what they said 2 weeks ago.
Right.
How could somebody remember what was said 20-plus years ago?
That's true, and I don't want to sling any mud that she didn't already say, but Lonnie, in the interview, she did mention that at the time she had a drug problem, and she's had some drinking problems and been in prison and everything. So not only is, you know, like I said, I don't know her, and I'm not trying to defame her character or anything, but like you said, I can't remember anything I said a few years ago in that detail. So imagine, which he's been through.
All I can say, Aaron, is my recollection of the conversation isn't quite the same the way she remembers the conversation. And I think people can say what they want about me, but I think most people will say, wow, his memory is pretty amazing.
Yes, that's true.
When you sit and hear me at the podium rattling off statistics of competitors without a note in my hand.
I think that anybody who knows Lonnie Tepper would definitely be able to say without a doubt that you have a very impressive memory.
Well, and you know, if I said something even that mirrored something like that, and like I said, my memory is totally different of what was said. And I don't want to go into what I remember what was said and how it was said, because I don't want to get Sean and Tanya involved in this. You know,
you don't want to say anything hurtful. I understand that.
Don't want to say anything, you know, but like I said, what I would remember is totally different. And you pointed out, I guess Tanya, you know, has had some problems chemically and so forth over the years. So and I remember the last cover story that I did on her. She was, and I like Tanya. I mean, if she's listening, hi, how are you? I hope you're doing well. Like I said, I emceed her fiance's show. She guest posed for me. But she was over an hour late the last time I went to her house to do a cover story, and she was married at the time, and she seemed a little incoherent.
Right.
And then people were telling me that she was having these major drug issues. So, you know, I don't know. I never corroborated that. I never looked into it. I didn't feel it was my business. But in any case, if I did say something like that, which I don't remember that I did, it may have been in jest. But I did tell her that, you know, going out with Sean, you know, what a major player he was, which she already knew and she had already told me.
Sean was quite the ladies' man. He's quite the ladies' man,
Sugar Sean. There's no question about that. So,
right. So
I mean, I don't know, you know, in the phrase that I supposedly said really sounds weird. I can't imagine me saying, you're the golden girl, but, you know, unless she has it on tape. But I don't think I said it. From my recollection,
regardless of all that, the reason you were upset with Dave, not that he lost your friendship like you said, but the reason you were upset with Dave was because he didn't get your back, considering he's known you for.
Well, I think it would have been nice if he would have said that. Certainly doesn't sound like the Lonnie Tepper that I know.
Right?
Are you absolutely sure he said that? Or if he did say that, you know, we all know Lonnie's a prankster. He's always joking. He's always kidding around. You can't have a conversation with him without him joking.
Right?
Was he even serious when he said that?
Right.
I mean, I thought something could have been said. And I understand people tell me that Dave felt he was caught off guard. But all I know is the preview to that radio show, one of the things under Tanya Knight's name is why she never dated Sean Ray, or if she ever dated Sean Ray. So Dave knew that topic was going to be discussed.
Right. That's true.
And also, not, you know, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think he ever went on the internet after the show when I was being called, you know, a racist and stuff, that he doesn't believe that, you know, that from what he knows me, you know, I mean, maybe he does think I'm that way. I don't know.
So that makes sense. But basically, you and he are still friends. You're just hurt by the incident.
I never, ever, you know, and I told you that a long time ago, right after it happened.
You did.
It does not. Hell, I don't want to lose a guy's friendship. I'm going to ask him for another sponsorship for my 2011 West Coast Classic. So, Dave, if you're listening,
and now he better come up and do it.
Yeah,
now.
Bring the checkbook. Maybe you can give me more money than you did last year, and we'll really just squash this thing, and we'll and I'll ask you to take your shirt off on stage or something.
And he's still, let me tell you, Dave is still shredded, so you could definitely oogle him.
He always was shredded. Picture. That guy was one of the most conditioned bodybuilders I've ever seen.
Dave is, interestingly enough, I don't know if this is, it's almost to a medical condition now. Dave is still in contest shape to this day. If you were to have him take off his shirt at any moment, he's probably 3 or 4% body fat.
Well, he was always an amazing, you know, I emceed the Junior Nationals. This is when I first met Dave Palumbo, was in Washington, D.C., George Washington University, 1995. And he won the heavyweight class and lost the overall to Willie Stalling. I don't know if you remember that name.
I do.
Willie Stalling, the following year, won his class and beat a guy named Jay Cutler.
Wow.
For the overall at the 1996 Nationals in Dallas.
Yeah.
Now,
I remember
do I sound like a guy that really has a bad memory?
Yeah. I would believe you, that's for sure.
So, you know, but it's all good. I'm not mad at anybody. You know, life is short. It's a new year. We're all happy that we're even here. It's 2011. I've been covering this sport for a long time, since the early 1980s. And if it ended tomorrow, I had a long and successful, I would think, career, and, you know, have a lot of way, way, way more pleasant memories and great times than negative times. And as you know, I still emcee the Arnold Classic and the USA and the Nationals every
right.
year.
You
talked about how many shows I've emceed. I've done the last 17 or 18 Nationals in a row.
Right.
And I think 18 out of the last 19 USA. So even if all that stuff ended tomorrow, I think it's a record to be pretty proud of. And, you know, my memories are fond. They're not negative. There's always going to be times when you may get upset at this or that, but for the most part, I enjoy just about everybody that's in the sport. It's what makes it fun working in it, meeting people, and, you know, every time you go to a show, it's like a reunion. And
absolutely. That's what I like the most.
You know, what Jim Mannion has done with the NPC and how it's grown and the numbers. I mean, and there's a lot of great promoters out there under him. They should all be saluted. I know they work really hard, and, you know, these companies support this sport by sponsoring it. You know, hats off to them. I mean, it's a team effort. And, you know, like I said, I've enjoyed it. It's been a long run. I think it's been a successful run. And if the run ended tomorrow, I would be happy with where I've been.
And I'm surprised and pleased to be able to play Dr. Phil right now. I have on the line both our interview of the week, Lonnie Tepper, and my friend and boss, number one, Dave Palumbo.
Hello,
Dave.
Aaron. Hello, Lonnie.
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything you'd like to say, Dave?
Well, you know, I want to just first put out there, just so that everyone can hear this, that I was hurt, basically, because, you know, I really value my friendship a lot with Lonnie Tepper, and he's one of the few guys that I could really talk to for any length of time and actually enjoy the conversation. We've obviously done a lot of wrap-ups and predictions together. And, you know, I just felt that, you know, he was obviously insulted by, you know, what went on the show that I know you guys talked about. And I guess the only thing I can say is I'm sorry, Lonnie, if I did something that offended you in any way whatsoever, because it wasn't meant that way.
Well, Dave, as I told Aaron, I never felt for even a second that our friendship was even damaged. I will always be a friend of Dave Palumbo. I guess you were hurt, and I was a little miffed, I guess disappointed, that I thought that there should have been some type of defense for me, nothing long and involved. But I understand you were probably caught off guard. You didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
You're not as glib as I am, you know. So,
not as quick-witted as you either, right?
Not as quick-witted as I am, you know. But you know, and all I was saying, Dave, was I was telling Aaron, if you're going to compare somebody's memory, you're going to compare me to Tanya's. I mean, the one thing I'm known for, as you always bring up, is my memory. And I was talking to Aaron about when I first emceed you at the 1995 Junior Nationals on the George Washington University stage.
Wow.
When you took the heavyweight class and lost the overall to Willie Stalling, who went on the following year to beat Jay Cutler at the Nationals. But
I don't know, I guess because what caused my irritation was I was people were writing me and saying, you know, you've been called a racist on this show by Tanya. You know, and Tanya and I were very close friends. I guess that's what befuddled me the most. I had done about four or five cover stories on her. She guest posed on my Cal State LA show in 1990. I emceed her then fiance show. I can't remember the gentleman's name. His last name was Ray, I think, at the time, in Overland Park, Kansas.
Steve Ray.
So I'm saying,
Steve Ray.
So and then I understand from your interview how she came out and admitted to all of these drug and alcohol problems in her past, and I had heard about those at the time I was doing my interviews with her. So I'm thinking, you know, how can most people remember what was said 2 weeks ago, no less 20 years ago, exactly, you know, to the word? And like I told Aaron, that's not the way I recollect that conversation. There's no need for me to really go in it. I did go in it a little bit with Aaron, but in any case, that's done. It's in the past, as far as I'm concerned, and I told Aaron this, and I told Bill Comstock this, our relationship was never damaged because of that.
I'm glad that you say that. I was hoping that it wasn't, because, like I said,
Aaron, didn't I tell you that?
Yes, he did tell me.
No,
that.
No, he never told me that. You never told.
I told you that Lonnie. I explained to you that Lonnie's beef with this whole interview was that he felt like you've known him for 20 years and you didn't come to his defense when he would have come to the defense for you in the similar situation.
What the whole thing was that, like I said, I was caught off guard. I didn't expect her to say that. I didn't want to take away from her interview at that point. And so I figured, let me get Lonnie Tieper on the following week to clarify what happened, because I had a feeling there was definitely a miscommunication there. It was just so shocking what she said that I think that people just blew it up. And I think they know that Lonnie and I are friends, and they try to, you know, people are jealous, so they probably try to create that rift between us with that, like making it seem like I set up the whole thing or something like that.
No, well, and you know what, it looked like it did, because when you promoed the interview, one of the topics under her was, did she ever date Sean Ray? Or something like that. So that was already discussed before she went on the air.
Never asked her before we went on the air. I was one of the questions I wanted to ask her, because I know she did a lot of appearances with him, and never asked her the question until I was on the air with her.
Well, the reason I didn't want to talk about it after I explained it to Aaron, and he'll explain it to you. That's why, you know, I think it was best that I just kind of let it go, you know. And all I can say is what I said to Aaron is my recollection of conversations I had with Tanya regarding Sean Ray, that particular statement, I don't recall it being said the way she said it.
I imagine Lonnie saying, stay away from him because he's cheap. That would probably be.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, and I really don't want to go into it, but I did tell her when she did admit she had this momentary tryst with Sean after saying all these bad things about him to me all the time, and I was razzing her about it. You know, here's a guy that you said all this and that about. I did talk about his tremendous penchant for womanizing. You know, whether he was black, gray, green, purple, or blue. And she knew that.
I mean, which was true at the time, you're right.
Yeah, I would have said that to Sean. Knows that. I would say that to any girl. You're going to go out with him? but Sean told me that, I guess she said that they had gone out or something. He told me that that was not true.
Oh.
That they did not date.
There you go.
They didn't? They didn't.
Well. No, he told me they didn't date. He said they'd once in a while they'd hang out after the gym or something and go to the restaurant down the street or something.
Right,
and
she said.
Lunch.
She said the same thing. She said the same thing. She never dated you.
Yeah, so I mean, but I just can't imagine me saying a phrase in the words that she said it, using the golden girl, unless it was done totally in jest, because you know how I always joke. You know, maybe I was joking, but from what I recollect, I did not say that. And all I can say is, Tanya Knight has everything over me. Looks, you know, she was, I really liked her, but she doesn't have a memory over me.
Oh, I got it, Darren. So he was jealous because Sean was stealing away from Lonnie. That's what it was.
No, I really can't explain. I don't want to really go into it because I don't want to really say anything about Tanya, what Tanya said about Sean and all that stuff that led up to my... I was razzing her because, you know, Sean had told me they had gotten together and what had taken place. And I was razzing her, saying, well, all these things that you said about Sean and you were with him, you know, and there was no intimacy. Both of them said that to me.
Right.
But so I was teasing her. God, you were saying this stuff, and I'm not going to say what she was saying, but I'm saying that there were comments made.
Lonnie is trying to spare people's feelings, Dave.
I'm trying to spare. I don't want to bring, you know, this was so long ago. God, it was over 20 years ago. And I don't remember that line, but I was razzing her or something. And what I recall is Tanya saying the statement that she said I made.
Maybe. There you go. Maybe.
And then maybe I said, yeah, you can't do that. You're the Golden Girl or something. I don't know. I mean, who knows? You know, that was long ago.
The Rabbi Aaron Singerman has cleared you of any wrongdoing. So.
Yes.
Well, you know, if I said something to that effect, and I'm underlining if in boldface letters, it was meant in jest, trying to be funny. I don't think I said that, but I don't want to get in a pissing contest with you know, Tanya. I hope she's doing well and she's listening to this. Hi, how are you? I haven't talked with you in years. Hope you are doing well. But I always joke, and it seems to me that the way it came across on the radio show was that I said this in a very stern, racist tone.
Right. Well, Lonnie,
maybe it didn't come across like that. I don't know.
The important part, Lonnie, is that you and Dave, you felt like we have cleared the air. And now when
I never had any problem with Dave Palumbo. Matter of fact, as soon as I was going to see him at the Fit Expo, I was going to say, Dave, are you going to sponsor my West Coast Classic again?
And now he better.
Right? Now I see. Okay.
So you're telling me, Lonnie, that
all for the sponsorship, Aaron.
Yeah, you know.
So as long as Dave does bring his checkbook, he will get
I don't care what he says about me.
He'll get a Lonnie Teeper a shake and he'll get a hug, depending on the size of the check.
Listen, Dave Palumbo's a good guy, and you know, I know you guys. You know, I've been in the journalism business for many years. From the mainstream level on, and I know you want a good interview, and what's titillating is, you know, people like listening to stuff like that. And so then,
will the RX Muscle viewers be privy to a Dave Palumbo, Lonnie Teeper, Arnold prediction video?
Sure.
Oh.
All right. You heard it right there. The LA Fit Expo. We film it.
I feel a little like Dr. Phil, and I feel like I've mended the fences.
You need to get one of those caps on where you have no hair on top.
Yes, exactly. That's if I had a cap like that, Lonnie, I'd be wearing it right now.
Yeah,
over it though.
I'd put the yarmulke. My yarmulke would still cover it.
Here, Dave, I did tell Aaron Singerman via email, so you may want to fire him over this because he didn't really give you. I told him I am not mad at Dave. It's not hurt our friendship. That was right in the Facebook email.
He lied then. He didn't tell me that.
right after. Well, no, I did say I was disappointed that he didn't come to my defense and say something like, that's not the Lonnie Teeper that I know. Or maybe if he said something like that, he had to be joking.
Right.
That's kind of what I thought would have been said.
I'm glad
this isn't about me. It's about you two.
That's right.
You're right. Dave is right. The real reason she should have never gone out with Sean Ray, the real reason is every time they'd go out, he would forget his checkbook. Forget his wallet, forget his credit card, and Tanya would have had to pay almost every time.
How do you think he could afford that Ferrari?
Yeah, so that's the only reason Tanya shouldn't have gone on with Sean, because she would have been stuck with the bill 90% of the time.
There you go.
But they're both good people, man. Listen, they're Sean Ray, is a good man, and cheap as he is, he's not black. He's Jewish, and
he's got at least some Jew in him. We know that.
Yeah, some Jew. And Tanya, you know, I wish her the best. I saw her on your site, Dave. You've got a training video of her. She looks great, 45 years old, nice and trim, still in Kansas that I see, and pass my best wishes along to her.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Dave, for coming on the show and allowing us to make the peace. And I'm glad you had the opportunity to apologize to Lonnie. And Lonnie, thank you very much for coming on Access Bodybuilding.
Hey, by the way, just one thing. Give a message to Tanya. You can't go out with Hedy Tata. He's too Asian men are too short.
The golden girl, you can't go out with Asians, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. But anyway.
All right, guys. All right. It's great talking to you.
The playoffs are here. The Jets won today. Jumbo Palumbo must be happy.
I am very.
Dave's not much of a football fan.
I am
Aaron
a very big
fan. Aaron really? Doesn't have a team in the playoffs, and L.A. doesn't have a team.
I know.
So that'll end that.
There you go. All right, guys. Thank you very much, Lonnie. And thank you, Dave. And
sweet.
I'll talk to you, Dave, you probably very soon. And Lonnie, I'll talk to you soon, too.
Thank you much.
Okay,
talk
guys.
Talk to you guys later.
All right.
Dave, I'll see you in L.A.
Bye-bye.